Blog Talk Radio.
We would hope, you know, we want this team, you know, I guess they have their minds on, you know, winning 10 games, and that would be the first time since when, I don't know if you guys know, but it's 9 or 10 years, right? So, and real proud of those guys. They've been through a lot, and they fought through it, and so it's going to be nice to say to those guys, hey, we get to go to a bowl game and enjoy that experience and prepare and get the team better.
A quest for 10 victories, a bowl season, something that has not been seen by the Miami Hurricanes for a few years now, and the chance for one of the more high-profile bowls of the 2013-14 postseason. Those are the things that are on the horizon for the Miami Hurricanes, but tonight is going to be about looking back as much as looking forward. Miami just got back from Pittsburgh, where it completed its season with a 10-point victory. But it wasn't enough to pacify the Canes Nation, which is still preoccupied by the defensive failures of 2013, as well as yet another 500-yard output by the opposition up at Pitt. Some of us thought it was one of Miami's best performances of the season. Others didn't. We'll talk about that tonight and so much more. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to a new edition of Cane Sport Live. I'm Gary Furman, the publisher of canesport.com. And we're once again getting ready to embark on the fastest 2 hours in Hurricane sports. As Canes fans debate and the college football world becomes preoccupied with coaching changes, Al Golden has hit the recruiting trail with a vengeance. Late last night, he paid a home visit to Dalvin Cook, the Miami Central running back who has been committed to Florida for several months now, who has been rumored to go to Florida State, has been rumored to be doing anything but becoming a Miami Hurricane. But we spoke to Dalvin Cook this morning, and he was singing a different tune. He was talking about how well that home visit went last night, how he now is going to more strongly consider the Miami Hurricanes, and how he will be visiting the Miami campus this weekend. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about more recruiting as the show goes on. And later on this evening, we will be joined by our frequent guest, Keenan Codrington, the Southeast recruiting analyst for Rivals.com, who not only will tell us what he's been seeing out on the recruiting trails, but he'll be able to talk about the new Rivals rankings that came out this week that saw Chad Thomas rise from 4-star status up to 5-star, and which tomorrow will find Demetrius Jackson, his fellow defensive lineman at Booker T. Washington, make the rise from 2-star all the way up to a 4-star outside of the Rivals 250. Those are two big jumps for a couple Miami commits. We'll talk to Keenan about that tonight. As always, it's your show. We have more than 50 phone lines open, so there's plenty of room for everybody to call in and participate. The call-in number is 646-595-2048. That's 646-595-2048. Let's go right to the phone lines because, you know, we know everybody has a lot they want to talk about, and we're going to start tonight right now in the 504, where you are now live on Cane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
What up, Gary? How you doing, man? It's Roland from last week from New Orleans.
Hey, what's going on, Roland? What's going on in New Orleans?
Oh, man, my Saints lost bad. We had a hoof. It's a rough game, man. It's a rough game. But we gotta,
yeah,
we
they'll
gotta
be all right.
Rebuild. Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll
so,
be all right.
So what do you think of your Hurricanes on Friday?
Stacy Coley was a beast. O-line was pretty solid. Offense is good. D-line is horrific. It's getting worse. I'm hoping that we can get some changes. Like I said last week, we got to get rid of somebody. We got to get rid of D'Onofrio. We got to get rid of Franklin. I thought, you know, in all that hype, you know, you guys taking their shirts off, running on the field. Man, they should have brought all that energy when they played Virginia Tech, when they played Florida State, when they played Duke. So, I mean, it was
kind of nice to see them having a little fun, you know?
Yeah, Gary, but come on, Gary. Listen, I understand it's the last game and you got a bowl game. But what did you think about that D-line? It really, honestly, the same thing, getting pushed around. I mean, they made a few plays here and there, but you got to get some playmakers in there. You do.
Yeah, but that's been the story the whole year. I thought it was really, honestly, even though the yardage and the stats don't show it, I thought it was one of the defense's best performances of the season other than the Florida game. You're sitting there at halftime. They were 2 of 7 on third down conversions, Pittsburgh was, which I thought was phenomenal. And Miami was able to be effective offensively because it had the football and had a great game plan by James Coley. And I was really encouraged by what I was seeing. Now, you know, I know they gave up a lot of yards
a
in
lot
the second
of yards,
half.
Gary.
And I'm going to take a look right now and give you an exact number. But go ahead, Roland.
Pitt ran for, I mean, the guy, I don't know how many yards he had all year long, but they, in that one game they ran for the most yards for that one Miami game for the whole season out of all the games they played.
They had 213 at halftime. 213 at halftime. Okay? Wait a minute now. You know, you can't be totally negative now, Roland. Come on, I'm not going to let you be totally negative. Listen, hear me out here. Miami was winning.
Whoa,
slow down, Roland. Miami's winning 31-10 at halftime. Okay? They only gave up 213 yards in the first half, and like I told you, Pittsburgh was 2 of 7 on third down. Now, I know they gave up 300 yards of offense in the second half, and that's not good enough. But you got to admit, some of that was in garbage time in the fourth quarter. In fact, let's take a look at the end of the third quarter. And, you know, certainly not making any excuses by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we know, you know, what the problems have been all year, and for some darn reason, the official stats don't have third quarter stats in them, so I can't tell you what that number was. But you know, the point I'm making is a lot of those yards were in the fourth quarter, and you know, when they were playing pretty much prevent defense. So I thought it was the second best defensive performance of the season. That said, obviously, it needs to be a lot better next year.
A whole lot better. Now, my main question to you, I got two questions. First question is, this Dalvin Cook thing, it seemed like it's heating up really, 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 really hot. In your opinion on that first question, what do you think Dalvin Cook's going to do? You think he's going to be a Kane? Or you think he's going to be a no? I mean, what do you think? I know you have the insight.
Well,
on that.
I don't think he's going to be a Gator, I'll tell you that. You know, let's start there. I'll be real surprised if he's a Gator. Now, you know, there have been rumors on the street that it's going to be Florida State. You know, how accurate those are, I can't really tell you. But he did allow Al Golden in his house last night. I know his grandmother likes Miami, and she's very influential in his life. He lives with her. His brother is a basketball player at Miami, and he's an influence on Dalvin. So would not shock me in the least to see him flip to Miami. But is it a certainty? Absolutely not.
Okay, okay. And
all right.
My next and last question. What about Ed Orgeron from USC? You think Miami make a run for him? Because, you know, he was a pass coach on the D-line and a hell of a recruiter. You think you think he's only looking for head coaching jobs, or you think, you know, he can – come in and you know, take a shot at D-line for us? What do you think about that?
I think with the way he did down the stretch at USC that he's got a very good chance to land a mid to lower level Division I head coaching job. I know he's trying to get the FAU job apparently. Don't know what'll happen there. But
what about D coordinator? He'll be a good fit. We need
I don't
a
know if he would or not. I don't know if he would be a good fit as a D coordinator. I don't, you know, I can't really give you an opinion on that. You know, I don't have a definitive opinion on how good of a defensive coordinator Ed Orgeron is. He's a good defensive line coach. He's a really good recruiter. I know those two things. But can he draw it up and make the calls on game day as a D coordinator? You know, I can't really tell you that.
Gotcha. And one last question. Going into next year, Miami's still going to run a pro set offense, right? They're not going to do any. I heard something about a read option or something. Are they going to stay pro set, right?
Well, pro set to a point. I think you're going to see a lot more four wide next year, particularly if they're able to get some of these receivers in recruiting, like a Johnny Dixon, to go with what they already have. And then I think that James Coley seems to be a little enamored by what he's seeing Auburn do this year.
Oh,
some
God.
Of those with some of those read plays, and I think they're going to take a look at Malik Rozier in that type of role, particularly on third and short. You know, I think they're trying to get better on third and short, and I think a lot's going to depend on if they're able to get a big back. To be honest with you,
that's what I'm saying, Gary. You've been following this team for 30 years. Miami's not that type of. They're not built on doing that read. I mean, no disrespect to Auburn. I know they beat Alabama with that, but that's so gimmicky. I mean, you can't. I mean, you look at the NFL. Nobody's doing that, and they did that last year with
Newton. It's gimmicky, but look where it got Auburn. I mean, you know, people are looking at that saying, "Oh my God," you know.
I know, but I'm saying translating to the next level. But I really. To end the conversation, you know, I appreciate everything you do, man, and I hope we end up getting Dalvin Cook or either Bo Scarborough. I know you hadn't mentioned anything about him, but I'm going to hang up and listen to you and see what's your thoughts on him as well.
All right, Roland, good talking to you as always. Give us a call next week. We'll have a show to talk about the ball game next week, so give us a call next
week. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's go out now to the 850, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello, you're on the air. You with us? All right, you're going to have to call back. Guys, be ready when I come to you. We're going to go now to the 203, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? All righty, let's go out now to the 813, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you tonight?
How you doing, Gary?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Andre from Camp.
Hey, what's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I got a couple of questions for you. Hey, on the quarterback situation this year, I think I heard you say something about the backup quarterback for Florida State may be interested in maybe going to Alabama or Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard.
Do you think that's a good outlook, knowing that he's a one-year quarterback? Bringing in a one-year quarterback?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if he's better than Ryan Williams, I do. Because, you know, that would allow you to develop those other guys, you know, Brad Kaya, Malik Rozier, and Kevin Olsen. And you'd bring in a guy that's a little older, that you know, maybe a little bit more seasoned. And from everything I've heard, he would be the best quarterback on the roster if he came here. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here predicting he's coming. I don't know that it's hot. You know, he's still on the Florida State roster. He's got to finish school at Florida State before he can even think about anything. And I'm guessing that that doesn't happen till May. But if you know, I don't think he graduates in January. I can't tell you that I'm sure about that either, but I don't think he does. And it's not even an issue until he gets to that point. And plus, I think you got to see what happens with Jameis Winston also here, you know, with these rape issues he's having. So it's very much up in the air. But I have heard that a transfer is something that he's considering, and I've heard that he's looking at Alabama, and obviously he has a relationship with James Coley, who's at Miami. So we'll see.
See, what I was looking at, I'm like, okay, you got pretty much a young offense, and they pretty much our future. You got – we can get Dalvin Cook or a big pack in. I was thinking, well, maybe they, not saying Olsen coming in, I mean, being able to play two or three years with these same guys and develop a chemistry where, you know, where when we go out and play, everything clicks. You know, I was just looking at maybe bringing in, just saying, okay, we just go with Olsen or Bragg, the guy from California, see if they can fit the program, fit the what we need to do for the next two or three years with the guys we got coming in and the guys we got on the roster, like Duke Johnson got about two more years. You got Stacy Coley and Earl Waters. That's why I was asking that question. Do you see them might try and go with a younger quarterback just to develop the next two or three years?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think they're, you know, you're going to have a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the football next year, and they're not going to be sitting there thinking that we're sacrificing any seasons. I mean, they're going to be looking to win right now. And, you know, the defense, to me, is going to still be very challenged next year. I don't see where there's an instant fix there. Obviously, a lot of really good defensive players are coming in and recruiting this year, But to expect them to get it done as true freshmen, I don't know how realistic that is. So, you know, I don't think they're going to mess around on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're going to and put him out there. And right now, it looks like that would be Ryan Williams.
Okay. Another question I have is, on the defense, how can I put this? Okay, you still got your defensive coordinator visiting recruits that we're trying to get to the school. If Gold knows he may do a change or do anything, is that a good thing, sending your defensive coordinator out? Because maybe you get some recruits thinking, okay, he's going to be my defensive coordinator for next year, so I should commit, knowing that he may not be the defensive coordinator.
I don't see that as a big issue. I really don't. I mean, he's not recruiting that many kids, and he's not recruiting that many of the key kids, and we also don't know that Coach Golden's going to replace Mark D'Onofrio. So, you know, it's all speculation right now. But I don't see it as being an issue either way. I also don't see any way he makes any moves before the bowl game. He's not going to take bowl games away from guys. So whether he will or not, we don't know. But I would be really shocked if anything happened before January.
I mean, you got a lot of coaches change going on, so that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, why they got him visiting and Franklin visiting, or anybody just, you know, maybe he's seeing something like, well, okay, I'm going to bring this coach back next year, and the young kids saying, okay, he's going to be my defensive coordinator, or then you turn around and say, okay, after the bowl game, I'm going to make some changes. Now these kids kind of, okay, they don't have their defensive coordinator anymore.
If he did something in January, there's still plenty of time for visits with any kids that need to be visited. And if it were to happen later, it wouldn't matter at that point. And then, like I said, we don't even know that anything's going to happen. So I wouldn't worry too much about that right now.
Okay, and you got the guy coming in. This guy, Corey Johnson, defensive tackle. I mean, how serious? He's saying he's coming down to visit, but it seems like he want to stay with Kentucky, but it's like he want to come down here and visit Miami.
I personally am not holding my breath on that one.
Okay.
You know. I have not seen anything that would indicate he's coming down here.
I mean, I've seen some of the things. He just don't seem like that player that we need. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's just a person that will fill a spot. I mean, because he don't seem like he's a dominant defensive tackle that we really need at Miami right now. So that's why I was okay. But just keep me online, Gary. Just keep me online so I can hit him.
Oh, you want to hold on? Okay, I will do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, let's go out now to the first, let me get him on hold. Okay. Let's go now to the 917, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, sir. What's up?
Who's this?
This is BK Hurricane.
Hey, what's up, BK? How are you doing this week?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? Just a couple quick things. I know it hasn't been settled, like, what bowl game we're going to, but do you think that depending on how we perform in the bowl game may put an emphasis on if we make changes along the defensive line? I mean, along the defense in general, actually, you know, from coaches down.
I would like to think not. You know, I think that, you know, what Al Golden has to do is he has to be honest with the situation, and I think, you know, he's had a front row seat for every single thing that's gone on the last 3 years, and it really hasn't been any different. Every season's been the same because we've been sitting here going through all these seasons, and I've been telling you guys over and over again, like a broken record, you can't judge yet. You can't judge yet. You got to wait till year three. You can't judge yet. Well, we just went through year three, and it was the same as year two and the same as year one. And I've gone on record as saying I don't think it's a one-man problem, and I still feel the same way. I don't think you just replace Mark D'Onofrio and everything's fixed. I'm personally not totally convinced that Mark D'Onofrio is the problem. You know, I'm not sure Mark D'Onofrio has enough help. But that's just my own opinion from my own observations. And acknowledging that I don't know the definitive answer. Well, Al Golden has to know the definitive answer. That's his job. And it's, you know, his career is on the line in terms of knowing what the problem is. And so, you know, I think that, you know, it is what it is, and the situation is what it is.
Right. When you say that D'Onofrio doesn't have enough help, are you referring to, the coaching staff or the actual players?
I'm not sure some of the position coaches are as strong as they need to be, you know, necessarily. I think that's a possibility. I'm not sold that Mark D'Onofrio's schemes, other than the fact that I don't like safeties running backwards the way they are. But, you know, bringing safeties closer to the line of scrimmage is a very easy adjustment. You don't need to replace a defensive coordinator to bring the safeties closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, I'm looking at player development. I'm looking at selection of players, the capability of recruiting elite players. I'm looking at all those things that fall on individuals that are also deficiencies on this team. And, you know, so I don't think it's as simple as, oh, geez, let me bring in a new defensive coordinator for Al Golden. I really don't. But at the same time, like I said, he is the one man that is best positioned to figure out what the problems are and what he needs to do about them. And, you know, I would like to think of what happens in a bowl game, with getting back to your original question, really impacts that much, because it could easily be an aberration. You don't know. I think you have a 12 game body of work to analyze if you're Al.
Yeah, the only reason why I brought up the question is because, you know, I was reading, and, you know, today, just, you know, flipping around the internet, and, you know, a lot of players came to D'Onofrio's defense, and Sean Spence was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he was saying it's not D'Onofrio, it's the players. He's kind of going in the direction you're going to. He was like, we just don't have the horses on defense. That's pretty much what he was saying.
Well, I don't think there's any question that the horses on defense are not there. That's without question. But like many people on the boards on Canesport very astutely point out, is that doesn't mean you have to lose to Duke by 25 points either. So you can't lie to yourself and say, oh, geez, our talent stinks, which, by the way, you know, you're picking a lot of that talent. I mean, you know, I know some of it's been on the fly, and there's certainly a lot of excuses that could be made for some of the mistakes that have been made in talent evaluation and stuff. But, you know, I think, you know, you're picking that talent, and you're responsible for developing that talent. And so this is not a simple problem. It really isn't.
Right. All right, one last question. Do you think that going into the spring, if it's a close quarterback competition between Olsen and Williams, do you think that the coaching staff should lean towards Kevin Olsen, because there's a good chance he'll be here till 2017, you know? What do you think?
If it's even, I would, but, you know, Al Golden is a sentimental guy, and he tends to go with his seniors. And, you know, Ryan Williams is going to be a senior who will have been in the program.
I think he'll
get the nod
for him now. Yeah.
Based on what he's done in the past, I think he would give Ryan Williams the first shot.
Do you think he'd give him the nod, and if he was to slip along the way, he'd bring in Olsen?
That's what I think, yeah.
Oh, man, I think we just need to just go with Olsen and just ride it out, because
well,
we're going to have a lot of horses
now,
on offense,
Slow down. You've never seen Kevin Olsen throw a single pass, okay?
He hasn't, yeah. I mean, like, this
no.
is all...
So why are you,
you know,
saying that he should go with Olsen?
This is all hype. You know what I'm saying? This is all hype.
Right, but you're
you could
making,
bring it down
making,
to the best... I mean, you could have said the same thing about Jameis Winston. And everybody was raving about this kid, and we never saw him throw a pass.
I know.
He
well, no
comes
one's raving
in,
about Kevin
and he's amazing.
No one's raving about Kevin Olsen. Nobody's
no,
seen
I'm
Kevin
just,
do anything other
I'm
than...
I'm just saying, who's
like,
to say that he can't be our best quarterback? I'm not saying he's going to be a Jameis Winston. I'm saying, who's to say he cannot be our best quarterback? Who's to say
he cannot
surpass Ryan Williams? Because Ryan Williams, let's face it, is just an okay quarterback, is a mediocre quarterback.
Coaches think he might be the most improved guy on the team this year. He apparently has torn it up in practice and looked great. So we'll see.
Let's see
if
Olsen can make that leap.
Let's table this.
Olsen is going to be Jameis Winston, but just to be better than Ryan Williams.
Let's table it until March and April, until we have something that we could see. We'll see. We'll have some scrimmages. Oh, and hey, and by the way, you got five. I don't know where you live out of town, but they're opening up practices.
Yeah, five practices open to the public. Yeah,
so everyone's
going
to get to see a lot of
that.
Things up. Yeah, people are going to get to see a lot of things up close. So we'll see, you know.
I was definitely reading that. I'm just hoping that, you know, that next year we could, you know, just get our defense to a point where we're just okay. You know, just where we're okay,
so
you know.
Now you're jumping all over the place. You're worried about the quarterbacks. You're worried about the defense.
Well,
you're jumping all over.
It's a lot to worry about. I'm depressed every time I turn on the TV on Saturday. I've seen some team
December,
that was above last year doing something this year.
Hey. Enjoy yourself. Listen, it's December. Hopefully there's going to be a good bowl game to go to. I'm really hoping Atlanta takes the Canes. I would be thrilled to death.
Do you think they'll take this, or do you think they'll go with Clemson?
We don't know. I think they'll pick Miami, but we don't know. I can't imagine them picking Duke over Miami to play in that game in Atlanta against an SEC team. I mean, it's just
too good of a team
matchup on New Year's Eve. If you put Johnny Manziel against Miami, I mean, come on. That's just,
we probably get better ratings than the national championship game.
Nobody will go out. The clubs are going to go out of business on New Year's Eve if they put that game on. All right, let me know.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, give us a call next week. All right, let's go now to the 770. Where you are now live? We're live. How you doing tonight?
What's up, Gary?
What's going on? Who's this?
Steve, man, what's happening with you?
Hey, what's shaking, Steve? You're with us early this week.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, just calling in, you know. Hey, glad we won. I heard you say earlier about the defense. I don't know. I was disappointed.
You weren't disappointed in the first half.
Oh, yes, I was. 213 yards.
How can you expect that at 213 yards, 2 of 7 on third down, and you're winning by 20 points? How can you expect better than that? Come on.
That's a lot of yards. And, you know, we got them two. You got to look at the totality of the game, Gary. We got two early turnovers, which we got touchdowns off big plays. You know what I'm saying? And that's. With that offense, that's the same thing. I wasn't pleased with the offense because I want to see that offense be able to consistently, you know, do 80-yard drives, not these one play, these screen plays where Stacey Cooley have to show off his athleticism and go the distance. I need a quarterback.
Let me ask you a question. They should give those up? Come on, Steve.
I've agreed with almost everything
you've said all year, okay? I've agreed with almost everything you've said this entire year. You're one of our best callers. You entertain the heck out of everybody, okay? But you can't sit here and say you want to give up, you know, some of those Stacey Cooley dynamic plays for the sake of a ball control drive just for the hell of it. Come on.
No, I would take that. Take that all day. But then on the next drive, don't go 3 and out because you don't get that play. You're missing my point. If you don't get the big play, I want to see you stay on the field by picking up a 3rd and 7 and not going for the deep ball. Picking up a 3rd and 5 or a 2nd and 6, you know, just be able to hold on to the ball if you don't get the big play. That's what I want to see out of that offense. If the big play comes, fine. But the next time we got the ball, don't go 3 and out because you can't get the big play. And that seems to be what our offense is. And in games that we have lost, that's what killed us. We wasn't able to move the ball when we didn't have big plays or didn't have turnovers.
Steve, they had 2 3-and-outs. They had 2 3-and-outs in the Pittsburgh game. Okay, they had the ball 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 possessions. Okay, they had 13 possessions. They had 2 3-and-outs. They punted 4 times in the game.
That's it.
Steve, come on, man. Smell the roses. It's December. We might be coming to your neighborhood. The Canes might be coming to Atlanta. We might be drinking together.
That'd be great.
Come on, man.
We need a couple,
be happy.
But, I just hope we can hang on to the recruiting class and, you know, hope we win.
Hang on.
In this
they
want
to add to it.
What happened?
They're trying to add to the recruiting class, not hang on to it. They want to get even better.
Yeah, we'll add on to it and keep what we got. And like you say, though, we need to get – it might be some of the help for DeNuncio, but he don't help his cause when he don't make adjustments during the game. Like you say, when you look at safety running backwards and you look at corners not being able to find the ball, we got to, you know, we just got to make better adjustments before the game and practice, before we get to the game. You know what I'm saying? And one more thing. I hope whoever we play, I hope we go into this game looking to win it, not just to just show up, not to get lucky. Like I heard my coach say the other day, he was wishing for some luck for his players on Saturday.
Well, I think they're going to show up for the bowl game looking to win it. I don't think there's any question about that.
All right,
Steve, let's see what happens Sunday. Let's see if talk to those guys up at the Chick-fil-A Bowl. If I were you, I would go over to their offices or something and, you know, tell them make sure they pick your Hurricanes so you can just stay home and watch your team play in the bowl game.
Yeah.
All right? And give us a call next week.
All right,
I'll do that. Next week. We'll talk about it. All right, Steve. Well, I'll tell you, I love Steve, and like I said, he's been one of our greatest callers the whole season. But, man, sometimes you just got to allow yourself to be a little bit happy, you know? I mean, that was not a horrible performance up at Pittsburgh. All right, 646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Let's go now out to the 850, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight? Are you with us? All right, call back. Let's go now to the 305, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing?
Hey, Gar.
Who's this?
It's Brucey W. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Brucey?
I'm doing good. I'm happy.
God, man. It's like you go to Pittsburgh, it's 30 degrees, you get two early turnovers, the offense is kicking butt the whole day, the kids are having fun, they're running around with their shirts off, and yes, so Pitt picked up 300 yards of offense in the second half with the game totally under Miami control, and, you know, a lot of it was probably a little bit of prevent defense, and no one's trying to say the defensive problems are solved, but man, I mean, that was not a bad victory on Friday.
No, I didn't expect them to win that game. I thought the cold was going to get them. I mean, I went to Orlando a few years ago and sat through that Wisconsin, you know, disaster, and then the Notre Dame bowl game was bad too, but I'm glad they won. You know what, offensively, I thought Morris moved, he got out of the pocket a little bit, and he threw the ball to Hearns on the sidelines. I like those plays. They should use that play more often during the season. That was pretty good.
I thought Morris played probably his best game of the year. If he had played at that level in all those games, you'd have a different record right now, without question.
And some of the games that were close might not have been so close. And we wouldn't be complaining about a lot of these things.
I thought he was great the other day. He did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and there was a few drops, too, thrown in there.
Yep.
But I thought they played well. You know, everybody, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the defense, and everybody keeps talking about D'Onofrio. I posted the other day, and I'll say it again, and I think Steve just made the same comment about the adjustments. But when you look at what Vautech was beat, they were beaten by Duke, and they were beaten by Boston College in two consecutive weeks, and Logan Thomas had 8 turnovers. And then we play them, and they don't go after this kid. And then the following week, Maryland beats them by going after this kid. That's the part that bothers me. I mean, 500 yards is 500 yards. But what game film are you watching to prepare for Virginia Tech, which I know was a couple of weeks ago already? What are you watching when you see 8 turnovers by a quarterback in 2 weeks and you don't do what those teams did? That's the part that, I could say this in the air, I guess, pisses me off. That bothers me, and it bothers a lot of the people on Kane Sport. How do you answer that one? What is he watching?
You're right.
See, whatever yardage, whatever scheme they're doing, that's bad enough. But there's no excuse for that. There's none. What I watched Virginia Tech play Georgia Tech in the third or fourth week of the season, and Bud Foster had his safety, the one who's, I think, two or three brothers already played at the school, in the box at the line of scrimmage, daring them to throw the ball. They scored 10 points, Georgia Tech, and usually score 35 or 40. This is a guy who looked at film, and he made an adjustment, and he dared, he took away whatever strength they had by putting an extra guy at the line of scrimmage. How come this guy doesn't do that? It seems to me that every quarterback that gets to the line of scrimmage sees the exact same defense on every single play, with very little exception. And it seems when they're blitzing, they know exactly where it's coming from and what down it's going to happen at. That's the part that gets me the most. So I'm not sure whether this guy's going or he's not going, as you said, but I sure hope that Golden sits down with this guy and they make adjustments and they change the way they're playing defense. Because I don't care if they bring in Moten. I don't care if Russell Merwin comes back. If they keep playing like this, they're not going to be much better defensively. Now, your thoughts on that?
No argument at all. I think you're, once again, spot on, you know, and it has been a
little bit of a mystery. I know the talent's not there, Gary, but I still think that if Russell and Cortez played and they played like this, it wouldn't be any different.
Well, it would be different.
Yeah, well, you know what
I'm
saying.
Those guys dominating defensive linemen that could play this defense better than the guys that are playing it. So it would be different.
But last year, they're playing
with the talent level they have. I agree.
All right, so then last year, this was a problem a year ago now. Here it is, 12 months later. What's really changed? What did Golden, as the head coach, what did he really fix? They got a little bigger, I guess. They were a little tougher. They were in better conditioning, better conditioned team. But in theory, they were just as bad. Actually,
bigger,
I think
tougher,
it's worse because a year goes by and you're still playing like this. What?
Yeah. Bigger, tougher, better conditioned than the exact same result.
Right,
correct.
Same result. Now, they're 9-3, whatever that could be from, I don't know. It could be that they beat a few teams that weren't that good this year. They really didn't beat anybody that good when you look at it. In retrospect, Florida turned out to not be so good. So the three games that they could have won that they didn't win, Vitek, Duke, and Florida State, three teams that are good going to bowl games. So who did they beat?
That's,
so I know 9-3 is a number, but
to me
it bothers me that the way they played all year. I could look at the 9-3 and be happy, but as a Cane fan, still just a number to me.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because the way the season shaped up with the teams being the level they were, you're not going to be able to make a solid argument that Virginia Tech and Duke were better, should have been better teams than Miami this year. That this should have been a one-loss team, even in the state that it's in. And that's why you can't call the season a success.
Right. You can complain about our players, but you can't tell me that Duke has better defensive players than Miami.
No.
I don't understand why.
They played better.
They played better.
And they prepared better, yes.
And
they
seemed
didn't have
better because Duke went after Logan Thomas, and Miami didn't. They let him just sit there and pick us apart. And that's the difference between Bud Foster and Mark D'Onofrio. This other guy knows what he's doing, and he makes adjustments, and he sees what the other team's weaknesses are, and he goes after it. And I don't see D'Onofrio doing anything other than, well, we have to execute better. Well, how many more post-game shows do we have to listen to our head coach saying we had to execute better? I'm tired of it.
Gladly, he didn't have to do it Friday, so I was a little relieved by that.
Yeah,
so.
So what was – did you know anything about these shirts being off, or
it just happened
and everybody in the press box was going crazy?
I was standing right there when they came out. I was taking a picture. I got on – they had me on SportsCenter taking pictures of them. first time I've ever been on SportsCenter. My kids were so excited, you know. But, no, it was really funny. I mean, it was funny as heck. I mean, it started out with Jared Wheeler, and then a couple minutes later the DBs came out, and then a couple minutes later the linebackers came out, and you had 20 kids running around on the field with their shirts off, and all the pit players are looking at them like they're crazy, and the pit students are screaming at any hurricane that came out of the locker room with his clothes on.
That's one thing we didn't see from the photos. What was pit players' reaction? So you just told us.
They looked at them like they were crazy? Yeah, they looked at them
like
they're crazy, yeah. You know, they're whooping and hollering and throwing footballs around, and they thought they were nuts, but the
were chattering,
and all the Pitt students wanted to do was see them naked, which I was kind of wondering about that a little bit, but you know, they were screaming
for
nudity.
Pitt guys wanted to see them naked.
Yeah, all the students that were hanging out early. Yeah. All right, Brucey, anything else tonight?
No, I think that's all. But good to talk to you, and let's just hope that we do play hard in this bowl game because it's been a while.
All right, man.
The last bowl game we won against Nevada?
Oh my God. Yeah, what's the
best, true, right?
What's the last good bowl game that anybody got a chance to go to? I guess Wisconsin. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Looking for, boy, I hope Chick-fil-A picks them. I would love to see a good bowl game against an SEC team.
Well, see if you can get a poll on Kane's board, how many yards Manziel throw for.
Yeah, that would be funny. Give us a call next
600,
week.
600,
we'll 700? Yeah, it could be. Call in next week. We'll talk about the matchup.
I will, buddy.
We'll see
all right, talk
playing.
To you soon, buddy.
All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's go now to the 256, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
How you doing, Gary?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Big G.
Hey, what's up, Big G? What you got?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. Just sitting here just thinking about these old Canes, man. Two points I want to make. I'm a defensive coach, and we run a 3-4. So,
high school?
High school, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It's all scheme. D'Onofrio doesn't understand the 3-4 at all. I'm gonna give you a prime example. The first touchdown pitch score, they went tight end and left, two receivers to that side. Football 101 rule is you never take your outside linebacker out of the box. Miami takes their outside linebacker, splits him out to cover the two receivers. You don't do that. You roll your safeties down, leave your other safety one high, and you go one-on-one backside with the single receiver. I might be talking a little over your head. You may not understand what I'm saying, but it's all scheme. And then when you're having problems with your can't stop in the inside run game, it's because your defensive tackles are lined up in five. When you have to line up in four eyes to cut those tackles off, penetrate them in, and that way you let your inside linebackers roam over the top and make plays. That first touchdown that Pitt ran, they had us outmanned to that side. They blocked down, pulled the tackle, and, hey, it's clean sailing. It's all scheme. That guy needs to go sit down with a 3-4 guy that understands the 3-4 in and out. And then Miami will be a better team. Even
sounds like all he needs. Sounds like all he needs to do is come visit you.
Hey! I guarantee you, our staff at Mustard Shoals High School, we could come in with that talent. And I guarantee you, we can make a difference. It's all scheme with him. Now, grant you another play. I'll say when Crawford in the open field can't make a tackle. Not that he is talented, but you also got to coach up the tackling and the fundamentals. Man, that's just it's
And whose responsibility? Man. Whose responsibility is that? The
you
fundamentals.
Right,
wait. Whose responsibility? The fundamentals and the mental preparation.
You're right. It's the position coaches. But
okay.
You still
say it's more than one guy. It's not one guy.
Yeah, but you still get your cues from the head guy. Your defensive coordinator puts in the drills, everything that he wants to do every day. You have to have that. You have to have a fundamental tackle period. You should do that every day. Miami is a horrible fundamentally coach team because you see guys like Jenkins. He comes up. He's flying in the box. He's straight up in the air. You can't make no tackle run at full speed at a guy. This is not high school. Even high school guys are not going to let you just clean their clock. You got to break down in the proper technique and make a tackle. Everybody's trying to make a kill shot. That's coaching. So, you know, I know we don't have the top, you know, level talent right now, but we are showing a lot better. We have a lot more talent, than like the guys on the board said, than Duke and a lot of these teams that we are playing. I think, like you said, Miami should be 11-1. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. 11-1. The ACC sucks, except for Florida State and Clemson. The rest of the league is garbage.
Yeah. It is.
Yes, man. He has to.
That's what makes this year so disappointing.
That's what makes it so disappointing. Yeah. And you say that you don't think one guy, I think one guy would make a difference, Gary. I think if you get rid of him and bring in a guy that understands the scheme, hey, because if you're not in football, if you're not lined up correctly, you can't play football. You're going to lose. I don't care how good you are, if you're not lined up properly, you're going to lose. When the team
yep.
overloads you, Pitt lined up in one set, they went double tight ends to one side. Our outside linebacker, which is Shayon Green, supposed to squeeze the tight end, wrong shoulder to pull up. He doesn't even touch the tight end. He just stand there and dance and then gets up trail. That's all coaching. It's coaching. And you know, I'm not trying to pull my own tail anything. My staff, we took over a school, Muscles High School. Muscles High School has never been anything. First year, we went 2-8. Second year, same talent. Second year, we're 9-3. We lost in the second round of the playoffs.
Really?
This is year six. Year six, Thursday
what
night, we're playing for that. Huh?
What was the difference?
What was the difference? It's coaching.
Yeah.
Scheme. Dennis mm-hmm. Kids, yeah. Thursday night, we'll be playing for the 5-day state championship.
Wow.
And we don't have a whole lot of talent. Since I've been there 6 years, we've had one 5-star, D-liner. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is 2-star. And once you
oh
know the
kids, you're a Miami fan and you didn't send him to Miami?
Hey, I tried. I tried.
How's he doing in Alabama? Is he playing there yet?
They tried to take his little red shirt off. I think he played a little bit in the last Tennessee. He played a little bit in the Tennessee game, but they put they put the shirt back on him. So
did they?
So yeah, they red shirted him. Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Give us a call next week. Let us know how you do in your championship game, and we'll see who we're playing in the bowl game.
All right, man. Take it easy, man.
All right, man. Hey, great call. Thanks for calling. Guy made some great points, huh? I mean, wow. It just sounds like he knows what he's talking about. His high school team is really showing that type of year-to-year improvement. So, all right, let's go now. 850, where you are now
Hello?
Live on Kane's 5. Yes, sir. How you
Hello?
Doing tonight? Yeah, you're
How
on,
you doing?
Man. Doing good. Who's
yeah.
this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What do you
Who's
think
this?
The chances on getting Dixon?
The chances of getting Dixon, I mean, are good. You know,
think so?
I mean, we'll know. Apparently, we're going to know this weekend. So, I mean, but, you know, the thing that I worry about is when you're looking at Alabama and Ohio State in tandem with Miami right now, and you haven't spent a ton of time in Miami, you know, that's enough to worry about, you know, and you know, that might tilt the scales a little bit. In fact, what I'm going to propose here is we're going to have Keenan Codrington come on in about another 10-15 minutes, and he has spent a lot of time talking to Johnny Dixon. And he'll be able to
right.
really give us – and that'll be one of the first things I talk to him about. And he'll be able to
okay.
give us a really good opinion on that'll be a little bit more educated, because I know he's discussed the situation with Johnny in depth. But does Miami have a great chance? Of course they do. You know, Miami's been the leader for several months now, going back into last summer. And
right.
he's a South Florida kid, and of course they have a decent chance.
Okay.
Anything else tonight?
Yeah, you said I'm asking why it cannot be a instant fix on defense.
Well, I guess there can be. I'm just not impressed by the talent coming back. I don't
right.
see any
I mean,
impact players coming back. I mean, even Denzel Perryman is borderline. If you want to talk about impact players, I mean
right.
he looks great on individual plays, but I'm not going to sit here and call him an impact player who changes the game.
Right.
I mean, I don't see
right.
one guy. I don't see one guy on that side of the ball that I would call that. So,
yeah.
you know, just being honest.
You got Howard. You got Howard. You got Bush.
Yeah, they're not impact players. They're guys, man. You got to put somebody out there. It's not like they make
yeah.
a ton of plays. I mean, they're okay. I mean, I thought Tracy
okay.
Howard made nice. He made nice forward progress this year. Deion
right.
Bush didn't even play until the middle of the season.
Yeah, he was hurt. Yes, that's understandable.
Yes, yeah, so I mean, he didn't make a forward move this year. I thought Rayshon Jenkins looked okay at times. You know, Rayshon Jenkins was okay at times, but impact?
Right.
No, not even close.
Okay, so our talent is better on offense than it is defense.
Not even in the same stratosphere, and that's the problem. Well, why
that's
not?
Right.
Why is? And to me, that's the problem.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So I guess they're fixing it this year, getting a lot of defensive players coming in.
Yeah, you got a ton of recruits. But to expect them to come in and do it as true freshmen is a pipe dream, in my opinion. You can't come in and play defensive line and linebacker as true freshmen and make an impact in most cases, unless you have like Ray Lewis type talent. And maybe one of these guys will. You know, we didn't know Ray Lewis had that kind of talent until he came in and showed it. So
that's right.
Maybe they
that's
will.
True.
Maybe they will. You never know.
What
all right, hey, thanks.
Okay, you got to go. Just keep me on, though. I'll listen in.
Oh, you want to hold on? Okay. All right, I'll leave. Yeah. I'll leave you on. All right, let's go out now to the 704, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, Gary?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Peter from Mooresville, North Carolina.
Hey, what's up, Peter?
Not much. Everybody's saying throw Kevin Olsen into the fire and all this BS.
Never even seen him throw a ball, have they?
No, they haven't. They haven't seen anything since last year and when he was in high school. But I think the Canes next year should use, like, they should have, like, kind of like a rebuilding year. Like, they should let Ryan Williams play. You say all the time that the Canes, like, we're not improving because they're being thrown into the fire, and, like, we don't have opportunities to redshirt them because we need them to play now. And I think next year they should kind of use that. Like, throw a redshirt on Duke Johnson, let him heal for a year, let Ryan Williams play, and let Kevin Olsen experience the playbook one more year, and then...
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, man. It just doesn't work that way. If this team goes 4-8 next year because they're not playing the best guys that they could put out on the field, everybody that's on hold right now, everybody that's on the message boards, everybody that's a fan is going to want to run these guys out of town. You know, coaches can't afford to do that anymore. But you're right, and I say this over and over, that part of the problem and why this program just keeps going around in circles right now is because they keep having to play freshmen that shouldn't be on the field. You know, and I'll even include guys like Muhammad this year, third down pass rusher. He had, what, 2 sacks, and both were against Savannah State? I mean, come on. That guy didn't have to be on the field. You know, he did absolutely nothing to advance this season. If that were David Gilbert and not Muhammad, I'm not convinced the record would be any better. And, you know, so in that regard, I'll agree with you in that it wouldn't hurt the coaches to maybe be a little tougher standard in terms of who they play as freshmen. You know, I don't think that would hurt at all.
Because I mean, in the recruiting class, who can you honestly think should play right out the gate next year?
Hopefully, and I'm going to get the list in front of me, but hopefully nobody. You know, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like next
you know,
year,
I think Braxton Berrios coming in early. He's got a chance to play because I do think that they're going to try to do some more things with the wide receivers next year. You know, just quickly going down the list. I don't really see too many other guys. You know, Darryl Langham might have a chance because he's a receiver. I think Casey McDermott, even though he's an offensive lineman, has a chance just because he's so advanced and developed. I really like this kid, Darian Owens, who's a DB who's going to be a linebacker in college. I think his game might be advanced enough for him to contribute next year. Brandon Powell, as a slot receiver / running back, probably has a chance. Just because they've played freshmen so much, Chad Thomas, I would say, you know, might have a chance next year. But, you know, hopefully most of them, a lot of them will redshirt next year.
And you bring up the wide receivers. I think another problem that we have with wide receivers is that we have these, like, 6-foot speed guys. And I think that we should get bigger on the outside so we can go more downfield. It's hard for Philip Dorsett.
They want to get bigger. They want to. They're trying to recruit big receivers. Everybody wants to get bigger. I mean, they're not going to pass on Johnny Dixon, but you know, they do want to get bigger. You know, they took Langham, who's a 6'5 receiver. They took Tyree Brady, who's a 6'3 receiver. They're still trying to get Ermine Lane, who's another, like, 6'3 type kid. So they're trying to get bigger.
Yeah, because you look at Mike Evans for Texas A&M, it seems like Johnny Football always goes to him, and it's always a big play. And then you think of Jordan Matthews for Vanderbilt. It's like big guys on the outside equals big plays.
Hey, look at Kelvin Benjamin, Florida State. Yeah, they're tough to match up with. You know, your cornerbacks don't come at that size. So it's a tough matchup.
All right, Jerry, thanks
for
answering my call and keep me online.
Thanks.
I'll keep listening.
you want to be on hold also? Okay, we'll leave you on hold. Thanks for calling. Give us a call again next week. All right, let's go out now to the 225, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, what's going on, man? This is Jason in Baton Rouge.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Nothing much,
what can
man.
We do for you?
The first thing I want to say is I believe that everybody that's calling in, I think your perception of what they're saying and how they're coming off is that they're upset and that, you know, everybody's trying to really be negative. Everybody, they're happy. Everyone's happy that Miami won. That's the first thing. Everybody's happy. They're just not really pleased with the way that they won. And, I mean, it's ugly. They're giving up too many yards and so forth. But I'm going to try to make this quick. My thing is I think that this playing the seniors, that philosophy has to go. I personally believe that.
Well, hopefully, if the job being done in development and recruiting continues to improve, that you want to be playing the seniors. I mean, and that's the goal, is to get to the point where you want to play them. But you're right, they're not close to that yet.
Exactly, and that's the goal. But right now, you see, when Al Golden came in, the first thing he was talking about is winning. Winning now. And the goal is, it seems like they kind of shift a little bit, and that's why everybody's kind of upset, because, you know, he was energetic and he's excited. Let's win. Let's do this here, rah, rah, rah. But at the end of the day, he's talking about, you know, I'm going to play the seniors. And I understand why he's trying to play the seniors. I get that. But at the same time, then the seniors, let's just face it, they're really not that good. And I agree with you, Gary. It's not just Coach D'Onofrio. It is not just him. I mean, that it is poor coaching across the board on the defensive side, in my opinion, just across the board. I mean, I don't think Paul Williams does, you know, a really good job in coaching the defensive backs up and teaching them how to disengage with the receivers, how to get off blocks and make tackles. Stop hitting every receiver up high, because it takes them, the receiver take them on a ride every time, so they get an additional 2 to 3 yards. And, you know, as big as Casey, I don't know if anybody's listening, but if you guys see Casey Rogers in person and A.J. Highsmith, those are some big guys. They're big defensive backs.
Well,
but they don't play
big.
Big.
Casey Rogers is a big kid.
I know, but I'm saying he's big compared to the other defensive backs in the country. They are big. I mean, when you stack them up, when I say big, I'm not talking about everybody's going to be 6'2 or 6'2.5, kind of like Casey. It's not that. I'm just talking about their entire physique. When you look at them and you stack them up against whoever the number one corner is in the country right now, you'll be like, okay, I see why he should probably be on the field, just basing it off the look test, the eye test. But I wanted to say that, first of all, he just needs to kill this senior thing where he's keep playing the seniors, because that's not working out. And I just believe, you know, moving forward, they should play the younger guys, because the defense is getting killed anyway. They're getting killed anyway. And I mean, you know, for one, I do believe in red shirting, and that's why I told you a few weeks ago when I got on the radio is that they're going to be 3 to 4 years behind, because they're not going to be at a red shirt. And they're going to stay behind the eight ball, because they're sprinkling in a few freshmen here, a few freshmen there, and then the other ones are just more or less projects. So you're going to stay behind the eight ball until you continuously get some impact players and coach them up, because they do have a few that I believe with the proper coaching, they'll be better. Now, I mean, I'm not sitting there saying that, Tracy Howard is – he's an impact player. I don't believe he's an impact player. Now, there's
not
a possibility. I agree. That's what a lot of people don't know. He's not even fast. You can look at him and say he's not fast.
And, you know, the other thing people don't realize is Gunter's not that fast either. And having two corners that are like 4.5, 4.6 could be part of the reason why D'Onofrio was scared to death to bring the safeties up. You know, there's a lot that goes into this.
Exactly. They're not that fast. The only one that has decent speed is Crawford. He's pretty fast, but he's not technique-wise. He's not sound. He's not sound technique-wise. But you know, it's doable for what we're doing with the scheme. Now, let me see. The other thing was that I think that Al is playing the political game with the coaching staff, and just he does so many politically correct things that is killing the team. And what I mean is, number one, the seniors, kill that. Stop playing these seniors and just move forward with the younger guys with more talent. They're coming in with more talent, and you can get better production for the future if they go ahead and start playing these guys, the freshmen and the redshirt freshmen, because they've already redshirted. And then maybe you can give them a breather. You may can give them a breather with the seniors. But it's very hard for me and a lot of other people to look back and say, A.J. Highsmith, that's the best we have. I don't care about him lining up. By him lining up and he know where to be, and I get it at the same time. His dad played, and you got to pay homage there and so forth. That's the political stuff I'm talking about as well. That it keeps the university and the team stagnant, and that's what I'm looking at. And I'm going to let you go ahead and go forth and make your comments or whatever about that, but I just personally believe Al, I hear a lot of people say that, he's a smooth talker, which he is. He's a smooth guy. He's a smooth talker. Everybody wants him to be successful, but his approach is just not going to get it.
He's got to change some things.
He needs a little bit more of a backbone to say, okay, we're not going to do this. Quit being politically correct 24/7. Just go out the box a little bit, because what we're doing right now, clearly, I'm just talking about defense, clearly it's not working, whatever that is. But I'm going to go ahead and go, Garrett.
Yeah, give us a call. Give us a call again next week. Good call. You say you want to be on hold?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll leave you on hold. All right, thanks for calling. Let's go now to the 732, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who's this?
Okay, this is Ken from Ocean Township, New Jersey.
Hey,
and
what's up, Ken?
I try not ever say anything in anger, but when I heard last week's show, it's just one rip after another, and the negativity is really bothersome.
Well, you know what? It was the Duke. It was the Duke loss. The Duke loss put everybody over the edge. That's what it
yes.
was.
You know, I've been following the Canes since 1958 when I was a freshman. And when you want to know about bad football team, I saw them. We were 2-8 that year. If you want to talk about a horror show, that was it. And then what about all those games that we had maybe 3 wins in a season, several times in the 70s, almost lost our football team. And then we go fast forward to now, we are now 9-3. I don't care what the schedule is, because remember over the years, the Florida Gators, how do they end up padding their win total? 3 cupcakes a year, every year at home, no out-of-state conference game, none, except Syracuse in 91 and what happened. They got blown out, but they're afraid to do it. They don't want to play Miami. Why? You take a look at the record. Miami beats them. I remember at the beginning of the year, before the year started, wasn't Florida ranked number 10? And I had said, spoke to a friend of mine, speaking that we go to a lot of games together, and we both said, Miami's going to be Florida. Why? The history is there. And I was at a gathering, a family gathering on Saturday in Philadelphia, and my niece's in-laws were in town, and they live in Clearwater, Florida. And I was talking to her father-in-law and made mention to the fact that all this criticism about Miami. He's following this Pittsburgh game. He said, Miami's dominating this team. It's not even close. And I said, we get a lot of criticism down in South Florida about Miami not being good enough. He said, you want to see a bad football team? I said, what do you mean? He said, the Gators. He said, they are terrible. So, this, it's a matter of perception. What's
You're
wrong
right.
with 9 wins? It's not 3-9. It's not 2-8. It's not 3-8. It's not 4-7. It's 9-3, and what did we most hope for in the beginning of the year? We wanted to win 9 of 10 games, and people forget, oh, the schedule is soft. I am so sorry. But remember, a lot of people beginning of the year said we were going to lose to Georgia Tech. We were going to lose to the University of North Carolina. Virginia Tech. Obviously, they didn't think about Duke. But
all right, so the bottom
Duke
line is you're seeing the glass half full, which is good.
In other words, it's always a matter of perception what is going to be a good schedule during the course of the year. You play the schedule, and remember, and I hear about these schemes on defense. I don't mean to jump around. Oh, we have to play this team. They don't know how to play a 3-4, 4-3. But the good Miami team and the gentlemen that call, well, our players like Maryland and all that, Cortez Kennedy, they wouldn't be able to work under this condition. Well, my good friend, what would the defense that Miami played in those days? A basic 4-3, very rarely blitz, am I correct? And also, when they played like the teams like Nebraska and Oklahoma, what did they do? The middle linebacker would have one function. He keyed in on the fullback, and he keyed in on the quarterback. That's it. So in other words, if they were going to go up the middle with the fullback, he was going to be plugged the middle. If they were going to sweep and try to go to the outside, somebody was assigned to that quarterback and the guy behind him. That was all they did. Nothing fancy. And now I hear this fancy schmancy scheme. It's players. It's player. And I look at this roster.
Great points. You're getting long-winded on us now, but great points. And, you know, it's refreshing because you're bringing a different point of view, and you're a fan that's not as upset as some others, and you're saying you're happy with 9 wins. And on the face value, you know, 9 wins is about what most people would have predicted coming into the year. I think what threw everybody off was that Duke game. Nobody could even begin to envision that Miami would get dominated that way in the fourth quarter and lose basically by 25 points to Duke, even though it was 18 points. It really was a 25-point
offense. You know, in all the games, even the games they lost, Miami wasn't blown out in the beginning of any of these games. They were in the half with Florida State before they caught up.
Yeah.
And they also played that miserable
rainy day
against
Virginia
Tech.
You got a really good offense. You know, the offense is very good. And even though it struggled also at times, you got a lot of talent on that side of the ball. All right, let me let you go. Give us a call next week. Great points. And
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for calling the show. All right, we're going to switch now gears out to the 770, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Jerry, how you doing, sir? This is Royal.
Hey, what's up, Royal?
Oh, nothing much, man. Hey, I'm not going to really get into the, you know, keep talking about the defense, it's a broken record, it is what it is. But I'm going to talk about one thing in particular. I watched the game, the Pittsburgh game. Gary, and I noticed 34 on Brister, number 90, Kamalu, and 98, Muhammad, they pretty much play on the right side. And I noticed they would show a five-man front, and they kept caving down. I watched all three of those guys, when they was in there, they kept doing the same thing. I'm just trying to figure out what's up with that. Why was they caving down? Maybe it's something about the scheme. You could tell me that I'm still not understanding.
No,
but that's all I want to say. Yeah, that's all I want to say about that. Now, one caller that called the football coach, man, that was good insight. That was a great call. But I'm not going to be long. I want to talk a little bit about recruiting. I got your comments about you said there's really not a whole lot of – well, you want to see a lot of guys that's going to play as freshmen. I understand that, too. Man, looking at that film with Chad Jackson, man, I think that kid, Chad Thomas, excuse me, I think that kid is special.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Powell is special. Man, I think he's special.
He's little, but he's special. I agree.
Yeah, I think he's special. I really haven't had a lot of time to watch a lot of film on the other guys. But let me ask you about two guys in particular, and you can put me on hold, and I'll just listen. Malik Rozier. And Kia, what are your thoughts on them? And just put me back on hold. I'll listen.
All right. Well, Malik Rozier is a dual threat quarterback, an athletic kid that you might see them try to do some different things with on third down, similar to what you see Auburn doing. I don't know how he fits as an every down guy. You know, we'll have to see going forward. But he's a very smart kid. He's a winner. And I think that's why James Coley decided to focus in on him as opposed to Allen Edward from Hialeah. Kaya is a classic quarterback, very much in the mold, probably of like a Stephen Morris. You know, he's got a strong arm. He can He can make the tough throws. He's a smart kid, understands offense, and is another really good guy to latch onto. USC and UCLA are trying real hard to get in there. I know James Coley is in his house today, so we'll see what happens there. There have been some rumors that his commit might not be as solid as originally thought. I'm not sure that that's true, but we'll know more on that in the next day or so. All right, let's go now out to the 330, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? You with us? All right, you'll have to call back. Let's go now to the 817, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello? Well, sounded like he's there, but I guess he doesn't have anything to say. All right, let's go now to the 863, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello? All right, let's shoot over now to the 904, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello? You with us? Well, this is kind of bizarre, isn't it? Guys are on hold, and then when you get to them, they're not there. They must go get a beer or something. All right, let's try the 817, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? All right, this is like, I think guys are playing April Fool's jokes now, because this is this is getting to be too much of a pattern. Let's try the 770, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Hey, how you doing?
Got
weird, we had about five calls in a row there where guys disappeared on us.
Yeah, I just
want
real quick, kind of touch on some of the other calls where they already said. I think people are generally, you know, happy with the way things are going with the Canes, especially with, in terms of recruiting and getting the NCAA thing over. But I also think there's some, like, revisionist history involved, too. Because if you remember, in 2009, you know, we once again controlled our own destiny. And it so happened that we ended up, you know, again losing to a team in North Carolina, the Tar Heels. And then we ended up winning two games, like we just won last time. And then we went on to the bowl and lost to Wisconsin. And everybody was like, well, we're 9-3. You know, let's be excited. We're going to a bowl game, blah, blah, blah. But you can still see those problems there. And people were trying to ignore the problem. And it's like we're right there where now. We're excited about the progress, but yes, there are problems. And no, it's not one person, which is D'Onofrio. But, you know, because I feel it's Franklin, too. But, you know, it's like I think people, you know, have been there before. Where it's like, yeah, where we're seeing progress, and yeah, we're 9-3, but there are problems there and there are issues that need to be resolved.
Yes, you're making an awesome point. And, you know, to me, that's one of the keys. You know, you can't be in denial about what you are. And, you know, even though you could easily say, and we just had a caller a couple calls ago that was very excited about the 9-3 season, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, there are a lot of teams out there that are way worse off. But I don't think you could sit there and say, oh, wow, we went 9-3 this year against this schedule in these circumstances and ignore all the problems that you had along the way that you better fix, or next year that 9-3 very quickly could turn into 5-7 or 6-6. And you know,
or 7-6 again, like, you know, like we were
exactly.
In 2010.
Yeah, it can happen very fast in this game, and you see it every year happen to teams. And, you know, you have a textbook example right now because they're nearby in the University of Florida.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, it's not just, you know, you said it's not just one person. Like I said, I only think it's D'Onofrio. You know, and I do, you know, like the caller mentioned earlier from the guy from Alabama who coaches Muscle Shoals, you know, it is something with the scheme in terms of his adjustment because he's real slow to adjust. But, you know, like I said, I think, you know, the problem therein lies is Franklin, too. You know, I can't really, to me, I'm not like the other caller. You know, I can't really put a lot of blame on Williams, and I can't put a lot of blame on Barrow because I've seen development there in the past with players that they've had, and even now. I mean, you know, people can say, well, Tracy Howard not that fast. Well, there's a lot of corners not that fast, you know. I mean, look at the corner from Mississippi State. the guy, what's his name? I forgot his name, but a couple years ago he ran a 4.6, you know, and he's one of the top corners in the SEC. And then you got corners, you know, now that run 4.6, like 4.6s that are still staying with receivers. Tracy, I haven't seen Tracy yet get beat deep, you know, when he's like 2-3 yards behind a receiver chasing after him. But I've seen McGee, you know, who was our fastest cane, who ran a 4.29, getting beat constantly by
great
like
point.
Virginia Tech receivers. You know,
great
he
point.
Was like a 4.29, 4.27. And you look at Rashawn Jenkins, who I think, you know, should have been at least honorable mention at All-ACC. You know, I mean, to me, you know, he took a big step forward this year, and I look, you know, big thing for him next year. But I see improvement there, but I haven't seen improvement in 3 years from that front line. And, you know, my last point, I'll let you go, I know you want to get Keenan on, is that, you know, you mentioned about there's no really impact players on the defense. And I don't think that's true because, I mean, I think, you know, Tyreek McCord, as when I mentioned Jenkins and even AQM, are impact guys. I mean, Tyreek had 4 sacks and 2 interceptions and 5 passes defense. You know, AQM, even though he had 2 sacks, he had numerous pressures and hurries. But these are guys that only got in on third down. But if we're running a 3-4 defense, why are they not playing on first and second down? Why are you not shifting your linebackers and have no running stunts? You know, like Denzel Perryman had 100-plus tackles, but only 5 tackles for loss in, like, 1 sack. Why is he not coming off the edge with AQM on the same side or Tyreek McCord on the same side?
I mean, Tyreek McCord's going to be a junior already next year, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, he's a kid that's shown some promise, but he should have been a freshman this year.
But I think that's the thing. I think it has to do with, I mean, you have impact players there, but I think it's use. You have to use them. I remember when, you know, I'll do my last point. But I remember when before Jimmy Johnson got to the Eagles, we had Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins. They weren't Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins. When Jimmy Johnson got that defense, attacking defense there, they became Jeremiah Trotter, Pro Bowler, and Brian Dawkins, you know, Pro Bowl future Hall of Famer, because that defense brought them, made them, allowed them to make plays, allowed them to be playmakers. And I think, you know, you have guys like AQM and McCord who are your jack linebackers who you can put at the three four outside and let them rush or stunt. You have a Denzel Perryman who you can use like a Danicus Allen from Michigan State and rush them off the edge. But you're not using them. You got these guys dropping back in coverage or just coming in on third down. And it's 3rd and 5 where you're playing off-man coverage, which is basically just like when you play pitch and catch. How do you expect Tyreek McCord and AQM to get to the quarterback when the corner is playing 10 yards off, that's the coverage you're calling, and the linebacker is slow to get out there to cover the flat, and it's easy pitch and catch. You don't, you're not giving them a chance. And then
yep,
you wait
right.
for a year.
All right, well, you know, awesome points, you know. Awesome points. Give us a call again next week.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for talking. Good talking to you. All right. Let's shoot out now to the 786, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? This is Darren calling you again from Miami, man.
What's up, Darren?
I'm all right, bro. Your caller from New Jersey kind of stole my thunder, man. With all said, with all the negativity, with all the criticism, man, for this team to still be 9-3, when we have a career backup from Virginia starting as our defensive tackle, these coaches should be given some credit, man. You understand? Gary, I'm going to say this to everybody, talk about scheme. You can switch defensive coordinators with Florida State, bring their defense coordinator here and send D'Onofrio up there, and you still will have the same results. So, I'm not trying to, you know, say this team don't have its issues. The team does have issues, Gary, but until we get – let me ask you this, Gary. Who is our Duke Johnson or Stacy Coley on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, you don't
Do we
have
one.
No.
My point. Gary, during that Duke, I'll even go to the Virginia Tech game. And when we line up our 4 down linemen or our 3, however we had down there, when it was time to get a sack on Logan Thomas, how many of our D linemen, not linebackers or corners coming off the edge, how many of our D linemen beat their man 1-on-1 and got a sack?
None. The whole year.
Yeah.
The whole year.
I
don't remember
all
one
year.
Play by a defensive tackle in the backfield the entire season.
This is my point, Gary. So I don't care if you bring in Bud Foster or whoever to coach this defense, you would have gotten the same results. The men aren't there. We don't have a Vince Wolford. We don't have a Jerome Brown on the defensive side of the ball.
Not even
so
close.
For this team to be early in the year ranked number 7, undefeated, these coaches had these guys overachieving. Gary, I said it last week. The coaches have gotten all they're going to get from this group of guys we got in our own defense. Until we get some better recruits coming in, Fars on the D-line. Okay, I'm willing to give Tracy Howard a pass. Okay, he's starting to come into his own. He's starting to play more aggressive. You know, I think it's going to take some of those younger corners coming in to start pushing him and to get him to really take his game to the next level. But, Gary, until we get them horses up front, because that's where games are won and lost in the trenches. We got them on offense. We got a stud offensive line. We got some stud offensive linemen coming in. But right now, Chickalo, God bless his heart, Shayon Green, the Renfro kid, number 90, they just not cutting it, Gary. I haven't seen, like you just said, I haven't seen one of them beat their man 1-on-1 and sack the quarterback all year.
No.
The pressure has either come from the linebackers or come from a safety blitz or something. You
understand? All right, well,
we're gonna shift
gears, and we're gonna start trying to figure out where this talent's gonna come from. And
exactly.
I'm gonna thank you for calling us. Give us a call again next week. And now I'm gonna jump right on over to our buddy Keenan Codrington, the Rival Southeast recruiting analyst, and we're gonna talk recruiting for a couple minutes here. Those of you that are on hold, please stay where you are. I'll get back to you in a couple minutes. Keenan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Man, I'll tell you, people have not recovered since the Duke loss. They just, you know, they just cannot see the light, and that was just too big of a shock on the system. And, man, I guess I understand it, but, wow, it's December now, so. But anyway, let's not worry about that for a few minutes here. Let's talk some recruiting. And the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is Dalvin Cook. And I'm sure you saw our stories today on canesport.com, actually going back into last night about the home visit of Al Golden, James Coley, and Hurley Brown into Dalvin Cook's household. And by the time they exited, Dalvin Cook was at least saying all the things that Miami fans would want to hear. And he's going to visit this weekend, and I wanted to get your opinion. Is he serious, or is he just telling people what they want to hear?
Well, it's a good point, Gary, and it's a really good question. The whole process, Dalvin has said all the right things about other teams continuing to recruit him. And I think he said those things because he knew he wanted to be at Florida. Now I think we're December 3rd. I think there's some questions that he has about Florida, the direction of the program, and more importantly, the offense. So I think Miami has a chance to get in there, maybe give him something else to think about. I think with Dalvin and his situation right now is he wanted to kind of get away from South Florida and do his own thing. With Yerby already committed to Miami, he's already played in the same backfield as Yerby. I don't think it was a question of competition. I just think he wanted to do something new and do something on his own. And I think, you know, he chose Clemson to begin with. I mean, and then now he's at Florida, and it could be the third time's the charm. You know,
he's not a guy afraid to change his mind, I'll tell you that.
No, he's not. He's definitely not. And when you look at it, too, from a fit perspective, I think Clemson, in hindsight, you know, could have been maybe the best school for his skill set and fit, with him kind of reminding people a lot of C.J. Spiller. You know, I think with Florida and Percy Harvin was a talented player. He also was surrounded by a guy named Tim Tebow and the offense that geared getting him the ball in space and letting him make plays. And I think with Miami, the fit would be, you know, comparing him to Duke as well. And quite frankly, he's not like any other player I think Miami's had from the explosiveness in the offensive backfield. I think all of Miami's traditional running backs have been, a combo guys, and I think Cook just kind of brings an extra gear, an extra added dimension to the table they haven't seen. And I think that's why he's so coveted. So Miami has a chance. They're getting him on campus. That really, really helps because, I mean, up until this point, he went to the Florida-Miami game, you know, as a Florida fan, and hasn't really said a whole lot about Miami, except that they kept recruiting him pretty hard. So this is something that's kind of changed in the last few days. I'm actually going to his practice tomorrow to see him, to kind of get caught up on all three of his in-home visits from the Big Three over the last couple of days, and hopefully I'll know a little more after talking to him as his phone's been turned off for a little bit. He switched numbers, and, you know, that's, you know, kind of that time for him. And I think he's going to make that final decision, Gary, next weekend at the state championship game. He wants to get everything done so he can go to the Under Armour All-American game and not be focused on recruiting, but just proving that he may be a five-star caliber prospect, which is been the big buzz of him since the Rivals 100 rankings came out, and he was two spots away from that title.
All right, another guy getting ready to make a decision very soon is Johnny Dixon, and then I know you've had ongoing dialogue with Johnny all through the season. Mm-hmm. And what's Johnny Dixon going to do this weekend, in your opinion?
Well, to be honest with you, these two guys who I've talked to quite a bit the whole process have kept things so close to the vest, it's really, really hard to read. Now, you know, Gary, he told you and I back in June at the Rivals 100 five-star challenge presented by Under Armour that Miami was his leader. He looked,
yep.
You know, he told all of us, and he looked everyone in the eye and said, I think he said it with a lot of conviction. Since that time, I think some things have changed a little bit. You know, he went to the Miami family barbecue in August, but since that time, he hasn't been back to Coral Gables, which leaves an element of concern, maybe some element
of surprise.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Where I agree.
That's that could be something that it could be a flag. Now, I talked to him on Friday after his game, and he said he was trying to go to Miami on Saturday, the day after Miami played Pitt. Now, he said he wasn't sure if he was still going down there. He hadn't talked to the coaches yet. So I think the line of communication, you know, obviously Miami might have been busy coming back from the road trip, but I think the line of communication has been it was better in the summer. I'm not sure exactly how it was through the fall, and I think other teams have had a chance to maybe, you know, convince them that maybe the opportunity to lease the, you know, the state or even South Florida could be an opportunity that Johnny may want to capitalize on. But he'll go on Saturday, and that'll be the last pitch for Miami. And, you know, it could be good news. Miami could, you know, say, hey, you're not leaving here without being a silent commit. You'll make your announcement on Sunday. That's great. He may go deliver the news in person that he's coming, or he may tell the coaches, you know, let me sleep on it for 24 hours and know my decision on Sunday. So, you know, Alabama's in the mix. They like him a lot. They really covet his speed. Ohio State has probably, to me, if you had to ask me my gut, they've probably done the best job recruiting him so far. I think NC State and Arkansas are kind of dark horses with Miami, maybe in that top three pretty hard with Alabama, Ohio State.
Now the new Rivals rankings came out this week, the Rivals 100, the Rivals 250. Tomorrow you've got the four stars that are going to be announced outside the 250.
Yep.
The first guy I wanted to talk to you about is Chad Thomas, jumped from four-star to five-star. Talk about what went into that decision and why the Rivals team decided to make that switch.
You know, Chad earned this opportunity to be a fifth-star and have his chance to showcase what kind of player he is on a big stage of like the Under Armour All-American game with other five-star prospects, and more importantly, other five-star and four-star defensive and offensive linemen. Now, you know, he plays against really good competition in South Florida, but the offensive line play, you know, it isn't up to the caliber of what he's going to see in Under Armour. And I think we feel he'll not only hold his own, but we think he'll surprise a lot of people with how strong he is at the point of attack. He's been playing a lot of defensive tackle this year, letting Demetrius Jackson make a lot of plays off the edge, facing double teams, and really not getting bullied or backed down, and really not pressing when the action goes away from him, because teams, you know, scheme running the ball, you know, on the edge versus in between the tackles when he's there, or even when he's on the edge, they try to run it in between the tackles when he's outside. So we like his scheme versatility. We think he's only going to get better. I think he's kind of just scratching the surface of what he can be. And we think he has that five-star potential and that, you know, level, that caliber of talent to shine not only on the college level, but even on the next level, just because of the fact that he can do some different things that maybe some other defensive linemen in this class can't do.
Chad Thomas's teammate, Demetrius Jackson, a two-star. Tomorrow it's going to be announced that he's making the jump up to four-star. Talk a little bit about that one.
I think he did the job for us, and he made it pretty easy. He was a guy that we watched his spring huddle film, you know, after it came out late in our August rankings, and we liked the flash that he showed. Now we wanted to see if he can put it together for, you know, 10-game regular season with the playoffs, especially in Miami-Dade County. And he did not only that, he did more than that. And obviously his stats and his production that back that up. His raw potential is, you know, four-star caliber. He's, you know, 6'6", 225, with, you know, basketball athleticism. Really doesn't even know what he's doing out there, but he is making a living behind the line of scrimmage. And that's exactly what you want from a defensive lineman. It's exactly what you want for a school like Miami, who needs a, you know, pass rushing specialist. And it's a, I think it's a good fit, and I think he'll only get better as he adds weight, as he understands the game. You know, his coach told me at times he didn't understand what to do on zone read. He didn't know if he should take the pitch guy or, I mean, the running back or the quarterback. He just doesn't know what he's doing, but all he does is make plays. So he's a surprise talent, a diamond in the rough. I think Miami got on early, along with Arkansas in the mix, and I think they knew they had something special there. And, again, you know, they knew it, and then we got to see it, and the decision was pretty easy for us.
All right. I also wanted to ask you about Ermin Lane, and I've been hearing very strongly over the last week that Ermin Lane is considering Miami more so than he ever has. Have you been hearing anything on your end to supplement that?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked me that question. I talked to Ermin Lane about this time last night. He actually gave me a call back as I was trying to catch up with him on the Florida offensive coaching staff shakeup. And, you know, Ermin and I talked for quite a bit last night. He told me Florida was having their in-home with him today with Tavares Robinson, Joker Phillips. He did mention other schools like Alabama and Florida State. I asked him about Miami. He said everything was kind of status quo with them. I asked him if his mom and his family want him close to home. He said yes, but they also want him just to get, you know, a good education. They didn't care if it was Oregon or USC. So, you know, I think Miami, with Coach Barrow more importantly, could be the key factor in if he strongly considers Miami. Obviously, take an official visit, which he hasn't done yet. That's another advantage for Miami. He hasn't gone anywhere this fall to see these schools up close and personal. He's got to see Miami in his own backyard, and he got to go to the Miami Florida game, but that's it. And he's going to try to schedule some official visits to either Florida State and Florida, and he said he's going to talk to Alabama to see it. That'll be the only school he goes out of state for. So, you know, obviously the victory in the picture. You know, he's saying he's still 100% committed to Florida. Keep an eye on Florida State. Also keep an eye on what Dalvin Cook plans to do. He told me verbatim he wants to play with Dalvin Cook at the next level. He wants to be on the same offense as him, and I think that's very important to him.
All right, before we let you go, any other tidbits with Miami recruits that you've come across over the last few days?
Yes, you know, I got a chance to see Tyree Brady in person from South Dade on Saturday. They had their playoff game against Coral Gables. It was a rain-soaked game. He didn't get a chance to really make a whole lot of plays. He actually led the team in receptions in the game. But he's a guy that actually impressed me with just his ability to make plays, especially in the red zone. He had a touchdown that was called back and due to a penalty, but his team won 6-0. They only had one touchdown in the game with like 15 seconds left. But I really like what I saw from him. I think, you know, if Miami were to take a guy in the backyard late, it's a good pickup. You can't teach his size. You can't kind of teach his red zone playmaking ability. So I like that. And then, you know, I caught up with Devontae Pete, who rivals 250 to watch, four-star receiver from St. Thomas Aquinas, who told me, you know, Miami's leading for him right now. He has the top four, but Miami's done the best job recruiting him so far. And I think Miami is going to definitely be in the mix with him as they continue evaluating the 2015 class. So keep an eye on a guy like Devontae Pete. You know, he could be a Miami guy at the end. You know, they have that St. Thomas, you know, connection with Anthony Moten and Jelani Hamilton and Dorsett there. So, you know, keep an eye on that. And, you know, I'll keep you posted on the board, you know, throughout the week from what I hear. And obviously the Johnny Dixon situation will probably be the biggest news this weekend for Miami fans and Dalvin Cook, you know, in case he decides to decommit and then, you know, pushes his, you know, top two of, you know, Miami in there, Florida State, or, you know, even just Florida as well.
All right, Keenan. Hey, thanks a million for joining us again and giving us all your great insight. And we'll have a few more shows before we're done here this year. And We'll hit you up again.
Sounds good. Absolutely. I appreciate it, Gary. It's that time of year, man. So
yes, sir. We're in
and,
we're in grind mode.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy the rest of the month, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, Keenan, thank you. That's Keenan Codrington, Southeast Recruiting Analyst for Rivals.com. He's joined us several times this year, and we thank him for that. Now we're going to go back out to the phones. We're going to try to hit everybody, so let's keep our points tight and the conversations on point, and we're going to start right now with the 513, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, Gary? How you doing? This is Tim calling from Cincinnati.
What's up, Tim? Thanks for holding on, man.
Oh, no problem, man. I was actually lucky because I was getting happy that all those callers didn't call. Like, yes, I'm next. But anyway, just wanted to kind of touch on the fact you brought up a really good point last time when you was comparing Golden's era to Butch Davis's era. And I could not agree with you more. To me, I was thrilled that we went 9-3 with the caliber of players that we had on this team. I felt that Golden maximized. He did one heck of a coaching job with what he had. Because he didn't, if you really think about it, in the Duke game, yeah, I was upset, but when I kind of got over it because I felt like, I always felt like if Duke went down, that was going to be devastating for us because the issue is coming up that we have no depth. And this is one of the things that Golden kept touching on, even when we beat Florida, even when we was climbing in the ranks, and I think everyone kind of got sucked into the fool's gold mentality. I kind of felt that if we lost Duke, that was going to really hurt. And even in the Duke game, we lost Coley. And you saw what happened there. Hearn is a good receiver, but he's not that just breakout guy like Coley is. And I just think it's just showed. I mean, it just shows we just have a lack of depth. Yes, it's coaching, too. It's the D'Onofrio scheme sometimes. I think Franklin sucks, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, Barrow and Williams are doing a decent job. But I think that, like I said, I'm going to let you go, Gary, but I just want to get your opinion on that, that I just feel like the depth just showed. Everyone knows Highsmith's not good, but and obviously didn't trust Carter to go out there because he must not, you know, be adjusting to the defense per se. Everyone knows Grace is probably better than Gaines, or Kirby is, but to me, I just don't think Kirby's really showed me much. I mean, if Gaines is the starter and Kirby's been there 2 years and he still can't supplant him, to me that shows, okay, well, maybe Kirby just isn't as good as what we thought he was. Maybe Grace is not, you know what I mean? Like, maybe Grace is not, everyone says put in Jermaine Grace. Okay, but he's not physically ready. So, I mean, and I'll just let you talk, but I just feel like the comparisons between Davis and Golden is spot on. People need to kind of wake up and realize the probation and all the stuff that we went through with the NCAA, that hampered us a lot. 2.5 years is a long time. And plus,
well,
what was left over from Shannon, I just think that we weren't left. Golden Lee wasn't really left with a lot. And I'll just listen in, Gary.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I agree with pretty much all you're saying. I just think the season blew up a little bit with all those turnovers against Virginia Tech and then not being able to come back and win that game. And then, of course, to go the next week and lose to Duke and play as poorly as they did with all those mental errors against a pretty basic offense. That was the low point of the year, and it ruined the season. And, but I think at the end of the day, you know, 9 victories is a step forward. I think, you know, now that the season's over and the reality is set in that you're not going to be in Charlotte and you're not going to be the ACC champ this year, I think you just got to build on that. And I think that's what Al Golden's trying to do. You know, they hit the ground running and recruiting yesterday. The coaches are all over the country. They're grinding on these South Florida kids, Johnny Dixon, Dalvin Cook. We'll know over the next week or so what happens there. And, you know, they've got 2 months here to recruit and get better. And I think you can't look back in this game. So that's my opinion on what you said.
Oh, thanks, man. And not just one more thing. And I honestly do feel that this 2014 class is really the class Golden's looking for. I felt like 2012 was a step, but I think this class will be the class. I really do. I just think I just think the foundation's there. You know, the 2012, I just felt like he was just building depth. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just didn't have it.
Yeah, you're building on something now. I agree with you.
Yeah, so, okay, Gary, thanks, man. I'll just put me on hold.
All right,
listen to the show. Thanks,
thank
man.
You for calling. Hit us up again next week. All right, let's go now to the 256, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Oh,
Gary, man. I'm on. I'm just listening. I talked to you earlier, Big G. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Should I put you back on hold? You'll be back on hold. All right, let's go now to the 480, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hi. What's up, Gary? How you doing, man?
Doing good. Who's this?
My name's Keith.
What's up, Keith? What you got for us tonight?
Yeah. I just got a couple of questions for you. Whatever happened to Calvin Kane?
Man, he didn't do anything all year.
Yeah, but I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm not there to see them, but they were saying that, like, in spring ball and fall ball that he was slashing, but he hadn't done anything.
Not a thing, no. He's just done.
A big thing about the game there against Pittsburgh this week is, you know, Gus Edwards showed me something. Why didn't they keep feeding him? Why they kept taking him out of the game, like let him run one play and take him out? Why didn't they just keep him in the game?
Man, no, you know, that's one thing I think that, you know, I mean, people say to me, you know, Gary, what would you change? I mean, that's one thing I would change. I think that they substitute too much. You know, there's just too much trying to make everybody happy and rotation, and I really didn't like it on the offensive line this year. I thought it really set the offensive line back, and right. I mean, you're trying to play four guys at running back, and it's hard, you know, it's a tough thing to do. So
very hard.
You know, but I agree with you. I thought Gus Edwards did show some progression this year, but I'll ask the same question. For the contribution that Gus Edwards made this year, did he really have to play? You know, couldn't he have redshirted? And, you know, that's what I would like to see happen in the future is more of these freshmen who are not making major impacts get their redshirts.
Right, I understand. Now,
I would have no problem taking every one of those carries that Gus Edwards got this year and giving them to Eduardo Clemens. No problem at all.
But now that makes a lot of sense. I also wondered that why didn't he play more. But this is my last question. This is a statement. Everybody's talking about redshirt these kids. A lot of these kids coming in now, they want to play as a freshman. They don't want to be redshirted.
Yep.
And they make it known, a lot of these very good kids, they make it known, I do not want to be redshirted.
It's true. But they're foolish. They should they should want a redshirt.
Right. Well, it's my first time calling in, Gary. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. But
hope you enjoyed the experience, and you give us a call again next week.
Okay, Brett.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go out now to the 904, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I got a question I wanted to ask. Is there is there going to be a new defensive coordinator or anything coming in, any word or any?
We don't know yet. You know, there's no real official word yet, no. I mean, a lot of speculation. I certainly don't think anything's going to happen before the bowl game. But we don't really know what Al Golden's thinking, and he's not going to discuss it with us, you know. So we're just going to have to wait and see what he does.
But I was listening to the last guy that called in. He said the scheme doesn't, you know, they got what they could out of the defensive line. But when we played Wake Forest, when they spread their offensive linemen out, the defensive coordinator had to spread our defensive linemen to line up with their offense? Why we just didn't line up the way we did? And, you know, we could have sacked the quarterback. The game wouldn't even been the way it has. You know, we didn't even get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, why you don't make adjustments during the game and why you have to wait to halftime?
Great question. You know, it's a great question.
Do all of this. And he says,
I mean, Wake Forest had more success against Miami than just about anybody they played this year.
Yeah. And just about every team was coming in doing the same thing to us. They were throwing the ball underneath. And the defensive coordinator, he didn't even try to do anything to try to stop it. They were coming in doing running the same offense. But, hey, he ain't gonna change anything. I mean, Florida State lost just about so many people on their defense come in. Look at their defense, you know. Look at them now. I mean, look where our defense is. So scheme does matter. I mean, you should put those guys. You know, you should play to the player's strength and not the coach's strength.
Well, the only problem is scheme. I agree with you, scheme matters, but I'm not sure any scheme would have shown with the talent that they have right now.
Yeah, you know, of course they need help on the defensive line,
And big time help.
Yeah, big time help. But they can,
and a linebacker too.
Yeah, because we was young in 08, and we slowed Florida down and pretty much was the only team, you know, that really did something to them in 08. And we were young then, so the scheme that we played, that zone blitz we was doing with the defensive coordinator that came in from Kansas State, Bill Young, whatever his name was.
Yep.
I mean, we still played better than what we're playing now. So,
if Bill Young leaving probably cost Randy Shannon his head coaching career at the University of Miami. Because I think if Bill Young had stayed, I don't think Randy Shannon would have failed, or at least not as quickly.
He wouldn't have failed.
Nope.
And another thing, you know, why they see Stephen Moore as hurt, you know, why they keep him in the game? Why not put the backup quarterback in?
They felt he was far and away the best guy, and they didn't want to take his senior season away from him. You know, that's why.
Was wide open, and you know, he couldn't plant his foot down. That was the first interception. I mean, I jumped up hollering because I knew it was a touchdown until I saw him slow down, and I just walked off, and it's an interception.
All right, well, thanks for calling. Give us a shout-out again next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, man, good talking to you. All right, let's go out now to the 850, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello? All right, let's go now to the 240, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Gary. How you doing?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is D-Black21. I'm a subscriber to Kane Sports.
What's shaking, D?
I listen every week, first time caller.
Oh, good.
I was listening.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. I was listening weeks ago, and I wrote down a bunch of notes, but I didn't get to get on because it was late. If I had a bunch of notes I wrote down that I wanted to discuss, but I'm not even going to go there. Just a couple things. It's obvious here we need playmakers on that front line on the defense. That's obvious, you know. That's a new point. Everybody knows it, so there's no point to keep harping on it. You know, can't cry over spilled milk. Can't cry over what we got. You know, only a fool trips over what's behind them. So let's not talk about it no more. But I do feel Denzel Perryman is probably the best defensive player that we do have. And I hope he comes back. I think it would be beneficial for him to come back another year and to work on, you know, the weak spots in his game.
I'm kind of torn on that one. I'm not sure he's ever going to get better than what he is now. However, I don't see him getting drafted higher than maybe like the third round. So, I mean, I'm hoping he comes because they need him to come back.
Yeah, I mean, they need him to come back. And out of the linebackers, he's the best tackler. When he hits something, it goes down.
Yes.
But, you know, like when he hits something, it goes down. So, and he can be that senior leadership, he could be that senior linebacker to teach these new linebackers that are coming in, instead of us always got to rely on young linebackers to teach each other. We finally have a seasoned senior linebacker that's been there, that's played in the big games, that can basically take some of these younger players like Allen Hurns, like Hurns did with Coley, took them under his wing, and Herb Waters took them under his wing. He could do the same thing.
Yeah.
And, Gary, there's so much, man. There's so much I want to talk about. But, you know, I understand we got a bunch of callers, man. And, this is what I wanted to say. When I was listening to you on Sad Friday after the game.
Post-game show?
Yes, sir. D-Stars. I love D-Stars. I love them. I've been a Hurricane fan since 86. But it was a time when D. Starks, you wasn't on good Kane teams either.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't on a lot. You was on some of them Kane teams when we weren't good, and people was calling up, probably saying the same thing about what you're saying now. You know, when we were dominant, but you wasn't always on dominant teams. Remember that. And we didn't go to a bowl game until Edwin James junior year. When we played NC State in that, what was that, MacPC.com Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was all right with that. Everybody was on with that season. Why? Because they saw better things to come.
Well, I think if the Chick-fil-A Bowl does the right thing this weekend and picks the Hurricanes and matches them against, say, like a Texas A&M and gets everybody excited, I think you got the potential for the same thing this year. You know, you go up to Atlanta and play a good bowl game, maybe even beat Texas A&M, and I think everyone walks away and says, all right, you know. So
And I feel you, Gary. I'm like, look, we're in a bowl game. We haven't been there in a couple of years. Let's go. Whatever it is, go to Atlanta. You know, let's put our best foot forward. Let's put on a good showing. Let's go out here and win this game. I don't care who it is, LSU, Texas A&M. Look, anybody could be beaten on any given Saturday. Ask Alabama.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Look, ask Alabama. Didn't no one expect Auburn to beat Alabama? And if they tell you that, they're lying, unless they're Auburn fans. If they're just natural college football fans, they didn't expect Auburn to go on to win that game. So am I happy with the 9-3? Yeah, I'm happy. But am I disappointed in the same? Yes, I am. Because am I disappointed in the Duke game? Yes. Am I disappointed in the Virginia Tech game? Yes. Am I disappointed in the Florida State game? No. I expected that to happen. You know, look at Florida State now. But,
yeah, they're
better.
They're
a better team. I mean, hands down. Only a fool will sit here and try to debate you or why we should have won that game. No. They was a better team. So, you know, let's finish the season out strong. Let the coaches do what they're doing. Recruit. Let's get some more players in here on defense, some playmakers that can make plays. I hope DB, what he called himself, the president, I hope he stays just to give the defense, the linebacker corps, some stability, if you know what I mean, some stability,
yep.
Some veteran leadership. And, look, let the chips fall where they may. And if we have to get a new D-line coach, which I hope, I would love to see Coach O come back to Miami.
That might be too much to ask, though, man, for him to come from where he's been and now come be the D-line coach again, where he already was, you know, 20 years ago. I don't see that.
Come on, Gary, don't crush my dreams. I mean, I can dream.
I'm just being honest with you. I don't see it. You know.
And one more thing, and I'm gonna let you go,
yeah,
Gary.
One
more point. I know a lot of calls want to call, so I want you to get off and just keep me on hold. But about playing these seniors, Jimmy Johnson's philosophy was, you know, the best player is gonna play. If I got a freshman that's better than this senior, then the freshman's going to play. I'm here to win games. It's not a popularity contest.
Playing too many freshmen and not redshirting enough.
I'm just using the freshmen as an example.
And you know what? The problem is that they have been the best guys, and that's the problem. But, you know, that's the whole
thing. Exactly. But keep me on hold, Gary.
All right. Hey, thanks for breaking down and finally calling us.
All right.
Well, give us a call again next week. All right, let's go now to the 954, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
How you doing? Joe.
Hey, Joe. What can we do for
I'm
you?
I'm just trying to figure, like, is it me or is it that we only have one tight end play? And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it that's the only one play we have, the little play action rollout and to offer? Like, what happened to the across the middle, the post, the slant? With the Jeremy Shockey, the Bubba Franks, the Winslows. I mean, happened?
I think the receiver position's the feature position in the offense right now. You know, to be totally honest. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, that Hearns has put up this year, Coley's put up this year, Dorsett was putting up decent numbers before he got hurt. Herb Waters has had his moments. I think the receiver position right now is just the feature spot in this offense, and you can't feature everybody.
But it's not about you featuring everybody. It's just featuring the players, I guess, or the players that give you the best chance to win. Because it just seems like the only thing Cody did is brought the Florida State offense from the 90s when they never used a tight end. And I'm
But let's be honest now. Clive Walford went through a couple games there about a month ago where he dropped several passes.
He was just dropping the ball. Just dropping the ball.
That's his fault.
Yeah, that's his fault, but then at the same
he went into that Florida State game, and it was too big for him. And he hasn't been the same since.
Okay, it's like this, okay? But that being said, that's understandable. But now, I'm a Kane Sports subscriber. Why would y'all, why would they rave about Bo Sandlin, the Stannis Dabwood, or whatever, and you never get to see these guys play? I mean, it's
well,
like
Nobar's
it's
not if close
you're giving
to
up, if you're giving
Bo,
up,
Bo Sandlin's going to play. You'll see. He'll get some burn next year.
Let me just ask you a question. Like, if you're telling me one player's not ready and this player's ready, right? If a team is going up and down the field on me with the players that are supposedly ready, shit. I mean, damn, excuse my language. But why not just go on and get a player to back up some playing time? I mean, you can't do no worse. I mean, if you're giving up 100 yards, 100 yards is 100 yards.
Yeah,
where do you give it up to
who
the
didn't
first
play?
Team,
Every,
string,
everybody
first
played
string.
On defense. The backups played, too. Everybody was playing.
I mean, they could at least get Earl Moore, Corey King, at least more reps. I mean, they just sitting on the bench. I mean, I understand it's like, you want the best
they weren't
guys
as
the
good
floor,
as
though.
What they were playing with.
But
Earl Moore, Corey King played last year when you got
killed.
But
this is the thing. If teams are killing us with the players, what's on the field? Why not? I mean, what more can it hurt? It can't hurt none. I mean, what more would it hurt?
I don't know, but I'll tell you right now, putting Earl Moore and Corey King in instead of Renfro and those guys and Kamalu and Porter and Pierre – that would not have been addition by subtraction. So,
but that, the one thing I my last point, the one thing I do agree on, agree with you with is the offensive line. Give me five and let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
I agree, and I
only
hope next year
need,
that's what they do.
Only time I need a sub if one of you guys tired. If you tired, let me know. Other than that, give me five and let me go. And my last thing is, how can a running back get a groove when he on the bench every other play?
I agree. Too much right, substitution.
Man.
Hey, thanks for the call. Give us a call again next week. All right, let's stay in the 954 where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Who's this?
Good. My name is Mitch from Coral Springs. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Mitch? What you got for us tonight?
Good, yes. The first thing I know, I've been listening to a lot of the guys on here talking about recruiting. This is the thing. I've been a Canes fan for quite a long time. We've been, since we were on probation, but since we're, all the problems we're having, we lost a lot of good players that probably would have went there. But because with, you know, where we were at and, the, you know, with people, we didn't know if we were going to get nailed with all the sanctions and stuff. So we lost a lot of players. Now, the thing is, with the next few years as we're recruiting players, freshmen that are coming in are going to have to play. There's no way to not redshirt them because our lack of defense is horrendous. That's number one. We got about, I think we got four defensive linemen and four defensive end coming in. Hopefully
yep.
they stay and they stay with us. They're going to play because we're losing players right now, the seniors that were decent players. We got guys coming in that are going to be way better than what we have now. We need them to play. We have no choice right now. As far as the defensive schemes that we've had, I thought they were terrible. Why was the cornerback so far off the receivers instead of bumping and running them? That made no sense. So if you watch the games, the cornerback's almost like 5-10 yards back instead of being up on the receiver and pushing them off the line. They're getting burnt all day.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Well, hopefully
that's
they'll make some changes, you know.
Definitely.
All right, well,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
give us a call again next week. You're hearing a lot of the same points over and over again, you know, from people. And obviously, you know, they would like to see some more aggressive defensive back play next season and some more effective play up front. All right, let's see who's next. Let's go now to the 407 where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Are you with us? Hello? All right, let's try the 904 where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? Hello? You're up if you can hear me. All right. He's a little late. I'm having to check here. Just give me a minute because I'm cross-referencing my list of guys. We got so many guys on hold listening to the show. Let's go to the 850 where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? All right, looks like final 3-0, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing? All right, and I got one more, the 863, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? You there? All right, well, looks like we got to everybody, and I can't thank the entire Canes Nation enough. Another great show, lots of great opinions tonight. A lot of the same opinions, though, and I don't think that's going to change until everyone sees some change on the football field. One more chance in 2013. We'll find out on Sunday what the bowl game is going to be, and we'll come back next Tuesday and talk about that. We'll talk about more recruiting. The coaches are on the road this week. They got visits this weekend, so a lot will be going on there. And we'll take it from there. So I want to thank Keenan Codrington from Rivals.com for joining us and giving us some insight on recruiting. And until next week, take care, everybody.